Well, Mr. President, we're all present.
Okay, we'll call our December 23rd Zoom meeting to order. Our first item, we're going to have our Benefica presentation first, so if he needs to leave, that he can move on to other stuff for his evening, if that's fine with everybody.
Sure.
All is good.
Okay.
All right, Dale, you want me to take it?
You betcha.
All right. Well, they put you in charge. I can see why. You got the guns in the background. It's pretty simple. Well, I'm Ryan Jewis, and I'm the CEO of Benefica. I've been with the company for a couple of years now. Benefica is part of the LeClaire agency, and just for everyone's information, LeClaire agency is a 100-year-old organization, third-generation family business that has been really the backbone of the Minnesota Benefit Association, which was established in 1929 and is the benefit association that the Minnesota Township Program leverages to offer an insurance guaranteed issue product for the members of Township. And I know that about a year ago, likely some of you on the team have worked with Jake Silverman and Brian LeClaire, a grandson of one of the founders with the LeClaire agency, and you looked at offering a similar program to what the Minnesota Township Benefit Association was offering their members. And my understanding is that it was maybe a vote or two short from kind of going forward. And so, again, maybe I'll just kind of open it, you know, kind of ask the question. I know that, you know, I can certainly go over some of the more of the details of the program itself, if that would be beneficial. But maybe for those members that, you know, that saw this program last year, you know, maybe just kind of guide me as, you know, what was it that maybe you liked or disliked about it? That you chose to pass on it, so I can really maybe focus on some of the gaps that you might have saw with it.
Ryan,
go ahead, Lee.
Ryan, I think that one of the things that probably was the drawback for some of the board members, and we have a lot of new board members on here, okay, just so you're aware, but a lot of the drawback, I believe, that was for some of the members was the fact that they were taking our contact, that you would have all of our contact information. I seriously believe that was probably one of the big things. And the other thing is that they didn't quite understand that our association was not actually selling the product. You know, that the directors were not actually going to be the ones that were out there. So I think that was probably a couple of the items that were the big drawback for those that voted against it. Now, the contact information, of course, you know, we would supply that to you so that you could handle the sales portion of it. Now, I guess my question to you is how is that protected as far as going any further than you on that, Ryan?
Okay. So good feedback. Thank you. I'll just talk to you about a little bit of the process that we do on the Minnesota side. We do not collect personal information for anyone that's not interested in joining the program. So how we offer the product, and maybe I'll share my screen just so everyone at any given point you can go out and Sherry's not turned on. So how do you? Okay. If you go, like, MinnesotaBenefitAssociation.org, if you go to that website, you'll kind of see that the program is listed. So you'll see townships on that website. And so, again, what we do is we basically offer the program to the township members. And so, again, we can promote it. We can promote it however you choose. So, again, if you're choosing not to provide contact information or you don't want us to directly market to the individual township, that's up to you guys. I mean, we don't require any information up front for those that want to, if that's a barrier. And I can tell you how how we can work around that. So, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I was just at the Minnesota, their association, their annual event. And so, I went there. And again, we talk with the members that are either using us, and we can highlight it there. There are other ways that we can provide the information to the members. We could build a website, very similar to the, the Minnesota Township Association that has all the information on there. When a member, so just so everyone just to kind of back up for a second. So within the Minnesota Townships, there's 1,800 total townships in the state of Minnesota. And we're providing this benefit for 900 of those. So we have 4,500 officers that choose to opt into this program. The other half of those officers, we are not marketing to. So we don't proactively send marketing information to them. We don't have their information. And we because again, I think whether it's privacy or whatnot, but it just hasn't been the practice of the Minnesota Township Association. So, maybe there was some miscommunication or something seemed to be like a gap, but that is not a requirement. So that shouldn't be a barrier. Any other questions on that? I just want to make sure. Can everyone still hear me? Someone give me the thumbs up that you can still hear me? Okay, good. So that's the one of the, and then what was the other barrier that you were saying other than the PPI?
The sales, they felt that the sales actually were on the shoulders of the directors, but they didn't quite understand that the directors or the board of directors were not themselves selling it, that you actually were the company that was selling that.
Yeah, so how it works is every year, like, and again, you guys know, run your own individual township meetings, et cetera. So as the individual township would come together, you would talk amongst yourself because it is kind of an all in, right, or all out, right? So again, let's assume that you have five members within a township. You would have to decide which benefit level that you would want. And so when I talk about benefit levels, really it's just the face value of the life insurance policy. And again, keep in mind, this is guaranteed issue, which means there's no questions asked. It's you guys just pick a level that you want. And the levels are anywhere from 5 to 20,000. And I'm not a fan of the 5,000 because it's been there since the beginning. The majority of the people that were on that program historically have since kind of moved into the 10, the 15, or 20 just because of the cost of, final expenses, et cetera, has gone up significantly over the years. So the majority of the decision making on the individual township side is just, again, one is budget, right? Can the individual township, can they afford to offer this to their members? So that's usually the first question that's being discussed at the township level. Two, if it's like, yes, we see value in this and we want to fund this for the officers, you just simply tell us which level that you're interested in. And then our team, our internal team, basically gets the census information for that township that's opting in, and we do all the back-end work to support that and deliver the policies to you. So the only decision-making or really decision that the individual townships have to make is, one, do they have the budget for it? And again, like I said, about 50% of the folks within Minnesota choose to go this path. And then two, what is the level of coverage that you guys can agree on within your individual township? And again, some take the small one or the smaller amount of 10,000. And then again, the maximum is a $20,000 face value. From a cost perspective, just so everyone knows, like a $5,000 face value is $80 per year per member. And again, it goes up to the platinum plan, which is the $20,000 a face value, which is $320. So it's really increments of $80 across those four different metals. And so ultimately, the townships decide which one's best for you. And then we have an online form. Again, I can show you the website at some point. But we have an online form where you can either call us, you can fill it out, you can send it to us, you can email it. But again, Joni and Kendra are the folks on our team that would work with the individual members and get that taken care of. So you're right. There is no sales aspect at the individual township level other than the decision of which one that you would like to leverage.
I have two questions really quick if I could. First off, is, on the guaranteed issue, is there an age limit on that?
There will be. And so, again, you're going to cross into a line where, again, I have to give the asterisk that I'm not a licensed insurance salesperson. So I want to first and foremost give that. But, yes, there is an age limit in there because, again, it starts to phase out at 80. Like, there's some couple tiers, like at 75 and 80. So there is some phase out information. And, again, I can share. And then what I'll do is I'll share in the chapter, I'll follow up with Larry, just the information on the Minnesota Township program. So all of those details are in there that you can look at all of those. It's laid out pretty easy to read.
And then this kind of leads into my next question. Does the entire board of a township have to opt in for it to approve? Okay, then yes. But then what if you have members that are in the phase-out period that would be involved in? If you have a couple of members in the phase-out period and you have some younger members, how would that affect things?
Again, that's the discussion that really gets taken place at a township level, right? So those are the discussions where if you have a younger officer, census, again, it's a little bit easier of a discussion, right? But again, as you know, like most of our townships, I'll throw myself in this category. We tend to skew a little bit older, right? So you are running up into some of these barriers that usually are the discussion point of whether or not a township will participate or not.
So what do the phase outs look like?
The individual phase outs?
Yes.
There's quite a few categories in there. So again, where you can find that information, like really depending on, is there's the policy is posted online. And again, you can go to, and like I said, I don't want to take a lot of time to go through all of that. But again, you can look at all the different coverages, the effective dates, et cetera, and all those phase outs at the different levels. There's quite a bit there to kind of discuss. And so again, I would rather than maybe chewing up the majority of your time here, I would direct you just to kind of go into this resource and really do the deep dive to answer your specific questions.
So just for clarification, we're just basically going to give our townships your information so they can decide on their own whether we're doing it. We're not selling you anything for them. We're not giving you their information. They have to provide it to you.
Correct. We would work with you and say how best would it make sense to roll out this information across your 600 members, et cetera, right? So again, it would be more of an informational, like here's a benefit that we're choosing to endorse, whatever the name you want to say it. This is a benefit that we want to look at to give you guys the option of whether or not this is something that you want to take advantage of. And again, you would just work with us and say how best is it to get that information and what works best for you. So again, it can be scenarios where our team joins like meetings like this at the township level, whether it's a Zoom meeting, whether you have annual conferences, we would promote it there. It's what works best for you.
Ryan, the last time we had discussed this, I believe that the offer was on the table that North Dakota would receive like $5,000 for starting the program with you. Is that where we're at today as well, or has that changed? Or
yeah, again, there's a couple things. There's first thing I would say is that if you are interested in looking at putting a program like this together, a couple things would have to happen. I would have to re-engage Prudential, which is the carrier that's behind this program within the state of Minnesota, and to make sure that they're okay of extending the program that we're talking about to the North Dakota Township Association. You, with that being said, if there's something that you don't like about the program that we're offering, for example, in Minnesota that we currently have in place, we can have that discussion with Prudential and craft it the way that you want to. Okay. You're talking about a kind of a revenue, I won't say it's a revenue share, but it's a royalty, right? So again, if the association, is looking to offer this program, we can build a royalty back to the association. And I think, if memory serves, they, again, you were in the range of that $5,000 that was being discussed, with the caveat to just to keep in mind that in order to, make, you would want to clear at least 100 different townships to be able to cover that risk, first and foremost. So if you feel as a board that less than 100 of the individual townships would take advantage of this program, I would maybe push back and say, is this right? Right. But again, if you can get 100, 200, 300, then it's more advantageous, obviously, for us to go down this path. But if it's a situation where if we launch a program and under 100 townships participate, I don't think that's probably the right partnership for us personally, because we would be taking on the risk of offering a guaranteed program to a very small group of individuals. Like I said, with the Minnesota Township, is you get the economies of scale, and again, obviously the royalty increases as well. And so again, the minimum barrier the threshold that you would want to cross to make this make sense from a royalty perspective, both from our sake and for your sake, would be about 100 townships. So again, that would be the discussion that I would encourage you all to have, is like, if you offer this program, do you see enough value where 100 of your townships would take advantage of it? That would be that's the hurdle that I would be looking to cross to make this make sense. What else? Any other questions I can help you with?
I do have one more question. The guaranteed issue, I would assume, is a period of time where they would all have to opt in. And how does the guaranteed issue move forward then? With new board members as they're elected, is that just like an annual open enrollment period at that point for guaranteed issue?
Yeah, we open up in Minnesota, I want to say January 15th, and it's about a 90-day window. When there's a form that we just have a census of all the officers that are being covered for that time period. And again, it's once that census is submitted, again, the policies are issued. In the event that, let's say that, a board member, or excuse me, a member of the township, is on that original census and then moves off the township, they can carry that policy even after they've served their time at the township. So it's not just for people that are solely there. If someone's on there, and they spent the dollars, they can carry this policy with them even after they serve.
For how long?
For as long as they want to keep it.
Yeah, I would have to keep nothing.
Any other questions about the program itself? Like I said, I think the next step I would recommend is take some time and talk about, obviously talk with the board to see if this is something that you would want to offer. If it is, then I would say you would probably, put forward maybe a person that I could work with the carrier, and we could kind of go a little bit more in detail about what the actual program is, the different coverages levels, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. If it's a situation where, again, what we're currently doing in Minnesota is good. You don't want to make changes. I think that's the easier path, likely for the carrier. But again, if you want to make changes, then we can open up the dialogue with the carrier and customize it the way that you guys think is most appropriate for your state, and we could go from there. But again, happy to you know, engage in that dialogue and kind of work with you if this is something that you want to do. I can tell you that, you know, like I said, I was just up in St. Cloud at the Minnesota Annual Conference. Again, the people that utilize it love it. And what we find within Minnesota, the people that the townships that are taking advantage of the program, they're the most active townships within the actual Association of Minnesota, right? So they're the ones coming to the conference, et cetera. So during that last conference, I only met four townships that weren't utilizing the program. So they're the active members that are coming to the conferences, love the program, they use it. And again, the 50% don't. So it really comes down to when I ask the folks that, why don't you use it? It's always budget. You know, it just comes down to the money that the individual township has.
So one more question. When you say that the $20,000 level is $320, I presume that's per insured and not per township?
Correct. $320 per, and there's typically, at least in Minnesota, there's 5 officers within the township. Okay.
Anybody else have anything for Ryan?
So say you only get 80 townships to go along with your goal of 100. Would you just not write it in North Dakota?
I think the biggest thing the risk would come back is like with the royalty, right? Because again, I think from your standpoint, there's opportunity, right, to have some additional royalty dollars coming in. That's where I would be like, okay, if we're going to provide a $5,000 royalty, if you get underneath 100 townships, the revenue and the risk will offset where Benefica is holding the risk in that case. If you get north of 100 townships that are offering in this program, it lessens the risk for both. Well, it's not the carriers, for a better speaker, that ultimately is driving the business. Tom, I'd be a little nervous if we had under 100 townships and we're paying royalty north of $5,000 a year.
Right, I understand that, but if it was under 100, you probably wouldn't pay the $5,000 in royalties, would you?
I would rather go into it with good faith and say, yes, we will, and it hopes to get north of 100. Because if the reality is, if less than 100 people are not taking advantage of the program, it just simply means the townships don't see value in it. So again, then I would go back to the board and say, is this a program that's worth offering across your state if we only have less than 100 of the townships actually seeing value in it? It just wouldn't seem like the right fit.
So if I could ask one more, I need to wrap, I'm trying to wrap my brain around the marketing. So you wouldn't be asking for our membership list, that basically we would have to figure out how to offer it to the members in a way that they get enough information so that if they were interested, that they would reach out to you.
Good. We would have to, if privacy is a primary concern, which seems to be last time, that was one of the two things that ultimately decided you guys not to go there. We would have to work together and say, what would be the best way for us to communicate to your members to highlight the value that we think that's in this? Yeah, it's just, again, it's like, how would you normally communicate with your members? Where do they receive their information? Like I said, how often do your members go to your website? What kind of newsletters would you have, right? So there would be we would just have to get creative if we certainly want to protect the privacy of the information.
Any other questions for Ryan?
You had mentioned ultimately you would like to have a 5-person board. Is that the minimum? A 3-person board wouldn't be eligible?
Tom, the in Minnesota, all have 5. That doesn't mean that has to be that way in North Dakota. It's just all or nothing, right? So if for example, in North Dakota, the entire members base of an individual township is 3, it's just all 3 would have to opt in. So if there's no hard data as far as the number, but again, if it's just all or nothing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
It just happens to be in Minnesota, everyone has 5.
Would clerk and treasurer be eligible?
If they are considered an officer within the state of North Dakota and you want to include them, by all means.
Okay. Just asking the question.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what I'm trying to allude to is we have flexibility. So we can customize a program that you feel is best for your township and what works for them. And so again, if the current program that we have or something on the current program that we're leveraging in another state is not what you like, then we would just have to work together with the carrier and let's see if we can put together a program that is valuable, that you can get more and more members to see that value in it. We're flexible.
Any other questions for Ryan?
All right. Well, that's it. I wish you everyone.
Thank you for the presentation and giving us more insight on it. We'll get around.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. Enjoy the time with your family, and hope to we'll I'm sure we'll chat soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll be in touch. So if this is something that we want to pursue, the best place to get this out to see if we've got 100 township interest is pitch it at the workshops, which is very fastly coming up to have anything on the agenda for that. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, that'd be a good place, Dale.
That's where you're going to find, I mean, we're going to cover 16 meetings, and we're going to cover the state from one end to the other, north, south, east, west. So that would give a guy a pretty good idea if there's interest in this or not.
Well, of course, have we looked at using or having discussions with a North Dakota-based company about this policy?
There isn't any. This policy is very discounted. I'm going to be 78. If I took the $20,000, I'd have $1,000. If I die now, I'd get $1,000. That's how bad this discounts. So if you're under 50, you'll be all right. But over 50, it goes down quick. I know life insurance companies because my roommate in college was a life insurance agent, so I know how they do it. And this is typical of a life insurance outfit.
Well, and yes, and I do know that. That's what my son does for a living. I was just wondering if there's any, you know, there's other organizations within North Dakota that do tailored programs such as this. I'm just wondering if, you know, we've reached out to anybody else to just look at other options.
We haven't, Kim, reached out to anyone else. That was, we picked that up at one of the multi-states.
Okay.
The Minnesota. So that's why we just followed through with what we had been in contact with in Minnesota there. So I don't believe, Larry, you haven't. Have you done any research with the North Dakota companies? Or?
No, I've never heard of a North Dakota company offering this. And, of course, the basis for this is a policy through Prudential Insurance. So it's not it's not something specialized for Minnesota in that sense. It's be a nationwide thing if their association just wants to go with it. They are also looking to expand into the other states with township associations. Wisconsin, I think they were having a meeting with Wisconsin earlier this year. I haven't heard how that worked out for them.
So is this something that we want to get out at the workshops then and see where it's going to go from there?
Of course, we're going to be putting out a newsletter before the workshops. And we could very easily fill a page with facts about this program for the townships too. I'd reach even more than we will at the workshops.
I have some concern about I guess going out to the workshops and publicizing it ourselves. I don't believe any of us are licensed to sell insurance, and I do have some concerns about that. If we go out and speak to this at the workshop, I think we're better off to probably have Medica publish something in our newsletter and go from there with it and have them come to maybe the annual conference. I don't want to see anybody or their organization getting in trouble for promoting or selling insurance without a license.
I don't believe that would be a problem. All we're doing is informing our public that there's a program out there. And if they're interested, they can be contacted. We're not trying to sell anything.
That would be my understanding too, Tom, on it, that we're not offering anything for sale at this point. No. We're just seeing if there's what the interest would be.
Yeah.
We do have to be careful of how we state it, so that we don't cross the line on that.
That is true. You wouldn't be able to, you know, discuss any specifics without getting in trouble with the insurance commissioner on that. I think you'd have to be careful in how you state it. Any questions that, you know, arise, there'll be things that you really would have to steer clear of answering. And one of their representatives would have to answer those questions.
I bet that includes pricing.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay.
Unless you have a licensed agent there to answer those questions, we could not, it could not state anything like that.
Only thing you could really do is let them put an ad in the grassroots and go from there.
You can't publish, well, they couldn't publish pricing within the ad. That would be illegal.
They could introduce themselves and what they would have to offer to the townships. They could do that.
With a link to the website for people to go and take a look at what's offered.
Yeah.
Yep.
We could have flyers available for our attendees from Benefica.
If we had a flyer, I think we just want to have them sitting on a table, and if someone picks it up, they pick it up, and we don't really address it type of thing, though, because you can have that same fine line where I have a feeling if we talk anything about it, where we get ourselves in trouble we don't need. I'm thinking the best way to do it is just put it out in the grassroots, and if they're have them get the connect information from it, and if they're interested, they need to reach out to one of their directors so we can get a tally of how many are actually interested, and then we can go that way. That way, I would think that'd be the safest for us. Because we're not selling anything, we're not doing anything, we're putting it in their hands, and they come to us if they're actually interested in it.
I don't think we even want to do that. They'll just put the ad in, and they get a hold of the insurance company. Otherwise, you're in the middle. Anybody can put an ad in the Grassroots, contractor, whatever. And that's legal. They could do it. But we don't want to get in the middle of it.
Well, if you don't supply the names, you aren't going to get the money.
Well, the way it's done, I don't think we're going to get any anyway.
If 100 townships sign up, more than likely not.
Yeah.
But that was my only reason, going back to what Jamie said on the legality of, you know, if you had somebody within North Dakota that could offer something like this that can attend these meetings to be the representative to actually discuss it legally with their license. I mean, there's a lot of schools that do similar programs within the state of, you know, there's Champion, there's different companies that agents have, you know, where they're doing benefits with all the different schools and they sit down with them, and that's the same thing. You know, it's a guaranteed issue within a time frame and a window. And then they meet with those individuals, and that information is facilitated directly through your school employees. The school doesn't do it, but your actual, you know, teachers, maintenance, whatever, deals with the company direct.
Where would we have to look around at to come up with if there is a North Dakota one that would offer something like this?
So that brings the question, if Prudential is the carrier, and Benefica is the Benefica, by the way, which is it?
It's Benefica, spelled Benafica. They're based out of St. Paul, I think I just looked up.
So are they just an agent, as in we could contact any agent, especially somebody that would handle Prudential, and that would be enough, a place to start at least? So that's all they are, is an agent, just like any agent with any office anywhere?
That would be correct. They're just an agency, and your Prudential is your underwriter.
Okay, so my reaction to this is there's always been three things that have come into play. To have outside income, non-dues income, I think is really important, and I would always advocate for that. But the wrinkle that gets me is, my biggest thing is just the first thing that we do as an outside income be life insurance. And if you have a son that's a life insurance agent, please don't be offended by this. But that's my concern, is that life insurance doesn't always have the best reputation. And so that'd be our first venture into the outside income, the non-dues income. I think that concerns me a little bit. But if our members would be interested in it, you know, who are we to say that they shouldn't have it available? But anyway, those are my thoughts on it. Those three things.
It was kind of addressed to us. It would be just an added benefit for the township officers. If their township would go ahead and pay that amount for the insurance, because that was basically a benefit or bonus for them. So
Do we know, is the age demographic of township offices in Minnesota appreciably different than ours? Has one of the benefactor folks ever talked about that?
Not that I've heard.
Most of the townships in Minnesota have a hell of a lot more money than any township in North Dakota.
They also have higher expenses.
Yes. So, you know, we got townships that you're going to take five guys and 320, that's $1,600, and their budget is maybe $15,000. I don't think the people in that township are going to go for that just for the supervisors have an extra life insurance policy.
No, because that would have to be voted on at your annual meeting for that.
Yeah.
Each township would have to vote on it at their annual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for us to
complain about gravel prices and different things. So if they find out that they're paying $1,600 and that, and they could have got a semi of gravel, they'll be hung.
You're right.
One way of getting off.
But if they choose to go into it, I guess who are we to keep out of them? I just typed in Prudential Insurance North Dakota, and there's a guy of Grand Forks, Bruce, that I don't know anything about. It's just people's names with his Prudential Financial behind them. Grand Forks, Hatton, couple in Grand Forks, Bismarck, Fargo.
Jamestown.
Yeah, Jamestown, Dundee and Park River here. So it kind of looks like you have options pretty much everywhere if it's just a Prudential thing.
I would guess that almost any underwriter would do something like this. It's just a group plan. And that's why they're looking for at least 100 people. They're going to be looking at some deaths, so they want to have at least that coverage. So it's just a group plan. So I think you could almost talk to any underwriter and they'd be looking to do something like that.
Well, Benefica has put together this program over several years and over many years. They recognize a niche in the township officers don't get much compensation for the work they do, and this is and they're not eligible for all the big group benefits, the health insurance or any of that. So they came up with this program to offer one little perk that township officers could get for their service.
So at this point, we really kind of just need to make a decision here if we want to get some information out to the townships and or if we're going to just let this go.
So it strikes me that we have, that if we would want to participate, our choices are to either let them have our member list so that they could do direct mailings, or somehow we're only going to be able to let them do an ad or let them do like a full page explanation that because we don't dare, if we talk about it much, we're going to get all the questions that we can't answer. And then what does that do? You know, if we can't answer any of the specifics about the policies, I think that's going to sabotage it. You know, and if our members did want it, you know, it would be nice for them to have access to it. But at this point, I'm not sure even how we do that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that we got to hand over the whole list. The way I understood him was we only handed over the information of those that were interested in it.
Yeah, they were. I understood that too, Tom. That, you know, basically, I think what we would need to do is have them write a full page ad in the Grassroots explaining what they want, with their contact information, so that the townships can get to them. Second thing would be to invite them back in again for the annual meeting and have that chance for the membership to hear them again and have them there directly so they can answer questions at the annual meeting. But,
or possibly sign up?
Yeah, I can't speak for them how they would handle it or which member is coming to do it, but I would certainly think they would have a chance with that. Like Kim said, it's got to be a licensed individual that's going to be there to sign them up. But that way we wouldn't be giving them our contact information. I mean, basically they would be using our Grassroots report for their notification for people to gain the information that they hopefully can to make that decision or to reach out to them anyway to contact them to find out more information on it without us getting completely involved and you know, and not letting them have our full contact information. So.
Yeah, I kind of think that's just the way to go then, just to put it in the grassroots, have the townships go after it and decide if they want it or not, and then have them in Bismarck at the annual convention to set them up, or do whatever. If that gives the townships a year to figure it out, even though they have to have it in their budget in March, so, but.
And then we would also need guidance when we are fielding phone calls or attending our county meetings of what we can and can't talk about.
You just refer them to the insurance agency. You don't say anything.
But that would be a way for us if we just simply put it in the grassroots. We could find out if the membership, if it was something they wanted. Because if they, you know, if they do want it, who are we to say that they shouldn't have access to it?
I think in our earlier discussions, they said we'd have about 3 years to reach the 100.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember exact details on that, Larry, but I know we had discussed that too, that it might not be that full 100 number right off the start. Might take a little while.
Yeah.
And what I remember though, I don't think there was any reduction in the coverage until you were 70 though.
Right.
That I remember.
It moved down.
Not until you're 70, Leon.
No, then it really goes down.
So there's no discount before age 70, and then it does go down.
At 80, you're done.
Right.
Okay,
there's an accidental death option, I think, at age 80.
So, I would say that, you know, I do have family that has begun arriving. I figured they'd probably be here around 7:30 or 8, and that has begun. So I would, from my point of view, I would like to see if we could kind of wrap this up.
Me too. We got a house full already.
Okay. Do we have a motion all to let Benefica advertise or put it in our grassroots to get the information out to our township officers?
I'll so move, Bill.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Ben moved and seconded. Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? Larry, let's do a roll call vote on this.
Okay. Kim?
Yes.
Jason.
Yes.
Leon.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Julie.
Yes.
Who haven't I asked here? Oh, yes, oh, yes. Dale.
Yes.
Well, it's unanimous. Approval.
Okay. We will approach Ben if they could get their information into the grassroots. You gonna get a hold of them, Larry?
I can do that.
Okay. All right. Let's start up here. We had the proposals that were brought forth that we need to take action on. Did everybody get a chance to read through that packet?
Yeah, are you referring now to the policy changes, Bill?
Yep. That was kind of the main purpose of the meeting, was to cover that stuff.
Or this is the same list that was provided at the convention. So.
The one in there that I was had a question on was one of taking the directors up to 12. That did not even get a second, or it failed when it was brought up on the resolution side. I believe, didn't it?
I believe it did, yeah.
That one wouldn't have any change as of right now. It would just be that it would be moved forward, Dale, on that. That without a second, it died on it. So.
Yeah. So that leaves us at still just having the six districts with the six directors.
Right.
Wasn't there talk about giving the option on the website about the other going to 9 directors?
Nothing ever moved through, nothing, no formal motion on that.
Do you think if we're looking for that change, we should just put both of them on the, both versions up on the website, so we get people talking about it if we need a change, and show them the cost of the two so they can combine it? We can discuss if you're looking at getting some further change to that.
Honestly, I think we need to take this in steps, Jason. I think that we need to go after the fact that the districts need to choose their own directors first.
100%.
And I think that's number one. Once we get that in place, then we decide from there if we're going to make a 9 change to a 9 district, or if we remain at a 6 district. You know, both of them make sense, but I think our first step for this board that I feel would be to go out and promote the fact that we are going to have the districts meet, and they need to determine their directors from that district meeting. And that's first thing.
Kind of course we were going on by waiting till after the workshops when we got out into the districts for the district two director is kind of why we had went the way of getting through the workshops, and by then most of the annual meeting or the county meetings would already take place, and then a guy would get names that way.
I mean, I looking at both of those proposals, there was neither one of those had a full motion or a second or any final decision on either one. So, you know, to promote either one of them, we really can't at this time. I mean, we have options that would be all you could put out there. So far, this is what we have for options, but.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about saying do this one or do that one. Just setting both of them up right next to each other, and I mean, it doesn't mean we have to make any actions on it for 2 years, you know.
On a bylaws change, no, it wouldn't.
Right. You have to have the bylaws to do all that stuff first anyways, and that election would have to be at the annual convention, from my understanding. So it'd just be basically up there for a talking point for people to discuss. I don't know if it will do us any good or not. Either way. But just kind of put everything out there, you know. I've
done a lot of thinking on that, and I just honestly believe that the first step we need is to actually bring them districts in to a time when they're going to meet and make that change first. And then from there, then we change. If they so desire, then we change number of directors for, you know, just the number of the directors in each district or something, you know, so.
So what you're proposing then is you would have actual district meetings prior to the state convention?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I think that would be the direction that I would like to see this board head first, you know, for to get that accomplished, and then from there we can look at the change, whether we go to a nine district or if we go to 12 directors in a 6th district. And who knows, maybe by then there'll be another option that someone will come up with, you know. Nothing is set in stone, nothing is,
right.
Nothing has motion to move forward on it, so.
Well, I think, I guess I tend to believe that there would be some difficulty in collecting or trying to have district-wide meetings, you know, before the convention when, you know, not some of the counties don't even meet. And I know I've heard you say that, Lee, that you don't think that it would work to have each district caucus at the convention, but I would put out there that I still kind of think that a 15-minute caucus amongst the districts would be enough for them to decide if they had names that for people that wanted to be brought forward.
I don't agree with that, Tim. We saw what happened at the Onion meeting. 15 minutes isn't going to happen. They're going to be a lot longer than 15 minutes. That way, if it was done prior to that annual meeting, you would have that. You would have that portion of the decision making for the directors would be done when you walked into the annual meeting.
Well, our caucus would have been easy because we only had like 4 people from the entire district there, so we could have definitely made 15 minutes.
we had 2, and most of our district does not have a county association. Very few of our counties have county associations. Hedinger County is one of the only ones in our area.
I was thinking if we could offer something like a half-day workshop that would include a district meeting if we could bring them in for some kind of training to take up half a day in each district.
Yeah, that would...
That could be like in August or something like that.
We wouldn't be doing every district every year, basically. Just your districts that are up for election is all you would have to do the 1 year, the meetings and stuff. And
yeah, that'd be a good idea. That'd bring them, rather than just having just an election.
You'd have to be the very beginning of August because you're starting on grain harvest here in the valley. And once they start, they don't want to do anything other than harvest. They don't want to show up for anything.
You couldn't do it in August out here because sometimes we're done by the 10th of August.
Yeah.
So you got to forget it for August. Especially now since they got everything else besides wheat. And
you're we almost have to be June and July. Those 2 months for around here. We don't get all of our townships to show up for our February meeting, so. I think it's going to be very tough. Anytime you tell them that they have to get something done for the DOT grant fund or this new legislation when they had to come in this fall to do that, all I got was complaints. Well, don't you know what we're doing?
Well, there is some flexibility within from one district to another where they're going to be in their time of year of how things are going, that a guy can kind of tailor it to the district.
Sure.
All right, if we don't need any more action on that, what is the next item that you had, Larry?
On your policy, Dale, you need to act on the policy.
Policy change one.
Which one? What are we going to be voting on?
You have to go on number one first, Leon. I would guess that's up to Dale. But
what page is that?
That's on the awards one. So you've got what the top is what is in the policy as of right now. In the on the NDOTOA website and the handbook, and this is what the proposal would be for a change down on the bottom, I believe.
Well, the change is on page 2.
Current is select the recipient, and we want to change it to select recipients. What I'm reading.
What did the convention decide on this piece?
These were not brought to the floor at the convention because they're policy, not bylaws.
Okay.
So it's just a board decision.
I apologize for interrupting. I have to hop off. If you guys need anything at all, I can be back shortly. But I have to hop off. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas. Basically, the policy change would be we have had one nomination for each of the four, the grassroots leadership one, and the change would be if we want to do more than one. I think the change is saying up to 5. I kind of think that's getting to be too many, but...
From reading this, it makes it look like to me you're trying to make it so if you have multiple people from across the state and multi-districts that you can, you don't have to just select one, that you'd be able to select multiples, but you don't have to. So if you only had one that everybody felt deserved it, you just go with the one, or you can go with two if you don't have to go into a session to argue over and over and over about the different ones and who is, especially if you get to that point, you're kind of splitting hairs. So I guess to me, from reading it, I don't see any reasons not to make a motion to, I'll make a motion to accept number one policy change.
I'll second. And moved and seconded to accept number one policy change. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Let's do a roll call, Larry.
You really think we need a roll call for this?
Well, is there all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Same way. All right. Pass. Policy change 2.
I'll move to accept policy change 2.
Is there a second?
Which I don't have that in front of me. Which one is that?
That's to add the minutes. That we have to have the minutes added to the
website.
And it falls under the executive director. Shall add them to the website.
I'll second it.
Leon?
Yep. Any discussion? Larry, I got one question. You had said also that you were going to look at some different audio equipment for the audio side of it. Have you had a chance to look at anything yet?
I just looked briefly at it. I see there's an option to get an owl that's been refurbished at significantly lower price than the $1,200 for a new one. So that's a possibility that I'd look at.
Is there any discussion? Any further discussion?
The discussion is about posting the minutes, but not about purchasing equipment, correct?
No, right. I had just brought that up for the also being able to put the audio on in addition to the minutes is what we were looking at doing.
Oh, okay.
Yet. We had discussed that at that was brought up at the organization meeting, Tim. Okay. With us. Want to put the audio on, too, along with the minutes. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All the same way. Motion to post minutes passes. Was that all we had? Was those two policy ones? That's all I've got in front of me.
That should be, Dale. That was the only policy that was... That was moved forward to the board, so.
All right. That's it on policy changes then. Did everybody get a chance to look at the RFP that Jamie had printed there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to go back in and redo that. There's mistakes all over that thing. I wish he hadn't
I wish he hadn't have went off. We got to do something with him. He's doing that all the time on all his contracts. Spelling's wrong. It's terrible. If we can't get our spelling and our wording correct in a contract, that's not saying much about our attorney.
All right, we could have him do that. Does anybody have anything else they would like to see put into this?
What does the location have to be specific on that?
As far as...
Where the audit takes place.
Where the audit takes place. He needs a specific place. Why is that?
Specific place where the audit takes place.
I think that's only because if your audit comes from the eastern part of the state, all the information's in the west. I just thought they get access. That's the only thing I can think of. It's not like they don't, a lot of them, our counties aren't even audit right now, and the people are doing it from Grand Forks and just sending multiple questions through emails and different things, so I'm not exactly sure on that one.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either way. I mean, it would be a question as to where do you want it done at? Don't these auditors, don't they take the books and do it in their own business, or don't they? They come right to you?
Both. For the county it is, anyways. And when I was with State Parks and Recreation, they would do both. They'd come in and do some things, and they'd do other things in their offices. But...
Jamie, you back on?
I think that's here. I am.
Hey, I'd like to comment on that RFP. You've got to go back through and look at spelling and correct wording and stuff.
Okay.
That's pathetic. I don't like, and we've seen that from you before, Jamie.
Okay, I'll go back and take a look at it, and yeah, I'll go back and go do some proofreading and get it out to you guys.
What's the audit? Why the question as to where it needs to take place? What is that?
Well, I mean, typically the auditor comes in and does the audit, whether it's usually at the office. And that's just part of the RFP, and I'm guessing the reason for that is they charge for if they have to charge for mileage or whatever.
So that's why they,
sharing there, and the one guy was giving it his presentation that day. He had made mention that some would be done in their offices, but they would have to come out and do some out.
I guess typically in my experience, there's some pre-audit stuff that's done. Documents are sent off through email to the auditors, and they do come out. In my experience, I guess in the counties, they do some pre-audits, and then they come out and do the audits in the office if they need to be. The pre-audit stuff that gets sent in shortens that time up, though, usually.
So where would that, I mean, that would actually be in either Larry's or Bart's or...
Have to be at Barb, because she has all the records there. Well, you wouldn't want to take them across the state, I don't know.
Yeah, Barb.
She said he'd come.
If Barb would open up her house, or if there's a meeting room that could be set up someplace, any of those places would be available.
I hate to have them come into someone's home. That's the bad part, you know.
Well, we still have our apartment in Bismarck, do we not?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you're right, Dale.
We could set it up there when we get to that point. And,
you know, and if all it right. doesn't need to be, if it can be done at the auditor's office, that's fine too. But typically, like I said, most auditors come in. I know in my experience with Harold, he comes in and has come into the county and worked the audit, and he's taken stuff home and worked it as well.
But they just simply need to know where that takes place so that they know how to price it?
That would be my assumption of why that would be needed.
And have we decided how many years we're going to go back on this?
That's up for you guys to debate and consider. That would be up to the board.
Because that's probably going to reflect the price on it, would be my guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It would reflect the price, and that's a board decision. If you want to start out an audit of a year, maybe that's where you guys want to start out at and go from there.
I guess in order for them to give a price on the services, that's what they're going to ask is, are we just doing 1 year? Are we doing 2 years? Are we doing 3 years? So we have to have all of them bidding this or being on the exact same basis as to what we're doing.
I'll make the motion to do the audit on the past year.
We have a motion to do the audit on the past year. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to put for the past year is what they're going to be bidding on. Any discussion?
When was the last official audit that they did?
We never have had one, Jason.
Never had one?
We've always done a yearly internal audit.
It's an in-house. It's your township self-audits every year at your annual meeting. You go through the books, the supervisors, and you audit your township that way, and that's how it's been done in the association.
Yeah.
Is there any more discussion? Any discussion?
I guess I should say that since we haven't had one, I would prefer that we go back 2 or 3 minimum.
I guess if there's people that are questioning things for the audits from different things, one, they might think you're trying to hide something. If you went back at least 2, then most likely everything is going to come out 100% clear and there's not any questions. I'm not saying there's going to be. But that should make everybody not worry about it. We wouldn't have to do another one for a little while, to me. But
I would also say my thought was 2 years, and my reason for that is if you have anything that carries over from year to year, 2 years might catch that carryover to make things in an auditor's mind balance out, just because from year to year, depending on your budget cycle or how some things come in, maybe how we pay stuff, whatever, that can carry from year to year on when expenses come in. And if you're at 2 years, that covers that gap, and there wouldn't be any additional questions where they would have to say, well, we have to go back and, further to justify the books or whatever in their mind because of that. That's just my thought on that.
Jim is rightly changed it to 2 years.
I was going to say we have right now, we have a motion and a second.
I would have
for the past year. We can amend it to 2 years.
I would amend my motion to 2 years on it.
Is there a second?
I'll
amend it to 3 years. Then moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the amendment going to 2 years?
So is Leon then second?
Yeah, either me or Kim, whoever you want to put down.
Any discussion? No further discussion, we'll vote on the amendment to change to 2 years. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, the steering weight?
Aye.
The amendment passes. We are now on the amended motion to secure for 2 years for the 2 years on the audit. Is there any discussion on the motion of going 2 years on the audit? Any discussion?
One second. Mm-hmm. And when you say 2 years, we're going back 2 years, or you're talking every 2 years? If you could clarify that.
Going back 2 years.
Okay.
Back 2 years.
Actually, the auditor that we actually had come in and visit with us, Kim, in Carrington, the back years, of course, would be up to us, but he was willing to and suggested that we probably just continue on and have him, you know, or whichever auditor actually do it every year. You know, that's up to board decision, but that was kind of their suggestion. And he was less for the project if we actually committed to more than just a one-time audit. So.
Is there any further discussion on the motion to go back 2 years on the audit? Any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same way. Motion to go back 2 years for the audit passes. Is there anything else that anybody sees that needs to, that they would like put in this RFP?
Did we decide we're just going to put the apartment then as a location, just so they have someplace they can, if they have that, then everyone's bidding apples to apples, or you can always alter it with them a little afterwards if you pick. You're not going too far. You're not traveling across the state, but
Barb, did we decide on that? Oh, sorry, Jason.
Did we decide on that location?
No. Is that an issue, Barb, to pick that whatever's required in to the, isn't that better to take it into the apartment rather than having them come into your home?
I don't think she's on.
Yeah, we can do it that way. And could I say one thing? Well, that gentleman that we had, and there were some people on the board that didn't have the opportunity to hear what he had to say, but going back 2 years or starting 1 year and then going forward 3 years and making sure that there was things changed, not just auditing. And I would be really, really interested in working with somebody like that, that would help me to make decisions of keeping things in order so that they're recorded properly, so that there are no questions asked. And that was the one thing that I really appreciated about what his presentation was, that he gave us a benefit of $1,000 off by doing the 3 years instead of going back 2 years and then going from there, whatever your decision is. But I said I would really, really be appreciative of working with somebody like that, because I think it could make our whole situation better and more understandable. And
it strikes me that by using an RFP instead of just a request for bids, because the RFP lets us interview more if we want, I think that gives us the opportunity to see how many people are willing to do just that. Because you're right, Barb, that was appealing.
And I think it is a good thing. Most auditors, when they come through in organizations, will give you recommended action, you know, on how to help with your books going forward so that things are easier. I mean, majority of auditors do that. So make sure that things are in the right columns and categorized correctly so that when you do have your next audit, Barb, for you, you're not a lot of back and forth with needing information. And that was part of the reason I recommend too. If it's never been audited, to go back 1 year, my concern is if you had overlapping on some bills or some things that might not be in the right categories, it could be a lot of back and forth of information for you as well, where they can do an overview of the two and kind of see where things are. It actually might make the audit easier, because of that information, if that makes sense.
Looking at what Jamie sent us, if you go to requested information, he does have a spot in section number eight about projections for annual fees for the next 5 years should also be included in this section. So this RFP is addressed on that. They can work with us in the future and have that as options for it. So that would be an open piece for this.
Put it out there and see who it bids.
Jason, did you make a motion to have that done in Bismarck? I'm sorry if I interrupted you there on that. But.
Yeah, I'd make a motion to have it at the apartment so everyone has the same place to bid it out from. Okay. And then for me to address it after there, at least we're apples to apples.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? The motion is been moved to have it at the apartment in Bismarck. Any discussion on that? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same way. We will have it at the apartment in Bismarck.
For you new members that don't know, we've had that apartment for many, many years, and it saved us a lot of money because we get it fairly reasonable. What is it now, Larry? How much are we paying?
Barbeth, that's $700?
Yeah.
$670 a month.
And if you had to have Larry stay at a motel, it would cost you $125 a night.
And Barb, have you supplied Jamie with those numbers for the December 31st gross revenues and net?
Larry did this afternoon, and I can get Larry. I can get them entered in there and send it out to everybody. I'll go through some grammatical things and so on, and go back and send that through to everybody. Probably give me a couple of days, I guess, since it's the holidays.
Yeah.
Christmas.
I actually change that to October 31st, which is our year end. So it coincides with our reports.
Okay.
Nothing further on this, but we will wait until Jamie gets the corrections back and the stuff on it, and I'll take care of that. Larry, do you have anything else?
Not really. I did include that list of things that are going on. If anybody's got any questions on those, we're working with several of the venues for the workshops. We moved the Devil's Lake one to the Lake Region State College. They have a dining room that should be available. The capacity is 2 to 250 people in there, and it would cost us nothing since we're a nonprofit and we don't charge admission.
So do you need anything from me for Lisbon and Castleton?
They're both in process. I just got the contract for the expo in Lisbon, and I also have the application for Castleton. So those are
they're in the right place. Okay.
Yeah, Lisbon is a cost of $300. Castleton is no charge for a non-profit. I would imagine that Ransom County will probably come in there and do their lunch thing again.
If you want, I can talk to Joe. They don't always have their spring meeting at the same time. That's kind of early for them, and then they had their meeting kind of late, their fall meeting. So I can talk to Joe if you'd like me to, or if you want to reach out to him.
Well, if you wish to.
Okay.
We are billed for the room without the extra cost of having a meal. So if they want to have a meal, that'd probably be on them.
Right. No, I understand that. Their meal usually went along with a county meeting, but I'll talk to him.
Right. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
On that North Dakota Livestock Alliance Summit in January, Larry, I'm planning on going down to that, too.
Okay.
When is that?
January
27th.
Your birthday, dear.
Amber contacted me. She was hoping we would put a booth in there for $500. But the deadline for answering that was last week. We didn't have a meeting last week to decide that. So I don't know if it's available anymore or not. But we don't charge enough for our booth. Everybody charges $500 or $700 or something like that. And we just charge $150 because we want vendors to come in and build our show. That's of a different concept.
Okay, Larry, I'll need a list of who's all going to be on the agenda by at least the 20th of January, because I got to put it in the IDO at least twice, so everybody knows what's going on. That advertising or workshops really pays off.
Right, right. I am hoping to send out cards. Two different cards, one for the Western Tour and another one for the Eastern Tour. Time to get to the mailboxes for about a week before the workshops.
So, yeah, I'll put it in 2 weeks before and a week before.
Yeah.
Because well, we've not on a Friday.
We've seen pretty good results from a card campaign.
Yeah.
I got one more question. Do we want to continue to have a booth at Big Iron? The deadline for registering for a booth is coming up in the first part of January.
How beneficial is that for us?
We do get contacts from some township officers that stop by. It's hard to gauge what actually you're accomplishing at any of those things. But, I don't remember what the cost is. You, Barb?
Not off the top of my head.
For some reason, I thought that one was $500 as well, but I can't.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I've got too many numbers that I've been looking at lately to recall.
Are you okay with attending that one, Larry?
If the board really wants to do it, yeah, I can do it.
That's where I just didn't know how much you know, benefit it was for us. But.
I was kind of wondering the same, if basically the juice was worth the squeeze.
Good thought. When I go to Big Iron, I'm not interested in township. I'm interested in million-dollar tractors.
Well, Wheeler had went up to that Williams County one, and one year was good because we had senator from Dickinson down there, Rich Wardner sat in the booth there and explained, I guess, measure number 4 for us. That worked good last year. It was debatable.
If I remember right, Tom said it was disappointing last year. That
not sure if it's enough benefit to offset the expenses that we incur out there. I almost would have said that the Livestock Alliance probably would have caught more people there than probably Big Iron. When you're more confined like that than, you know, into their summit.
The Livestock Alliance one is going to push into more zoning and stuff that the townships are kind of with and stuff.
No, I guess we need a motion, so to speak. I would, make a motion to take a look at the Livestock Alliance and see if we can still get in, even though we're after the date, and forego Big Iron, even if we would have a late penalty to get into the Livestock one. That would kind of cover paying that $500. Again, that would be my question. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And I think that the Livestock Alliance, as Dale said, with zoning, would be something more beneficial for us.
I'll second that.
At arms all the time. Okay, so we have a motion to pay the booth registration for the Livestock Alliance Summit if we can still get in. Is there a second?
And to not do Big Iron.
Correct.
And the second was?
I second it, Larry.
Is there any discussion on the motion to not do Big Iron, but do the Livestock Alliance Summit? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same way. If we can still get in to the Livestock Summit, the motion passes.
Sure, anybody remember her first name?
Oh, goodness, I got it here.
Amber.
Amber.
I got it. Yeah.
I know I got her number. I just couldn't remember her name.
Yeah.
Crazy Amber.
She said pre-registration wasn't necessary, but they would kind of like so that they know what numbers to attend or plan for. Anybody else have any other items?
Larry, are you going to take care of motels at the castle?
I certainly will. I take care of all the hotel rooms.
Larry, you have a note on your sheet that you sent out to book Kevin for the website maintenance was there
right. That's just a list of things I'm keeping track of. I'll give Kevin a laundry list.
Okay, with nothing you need action on.
No, it's just problems for things that I don't like with the website that I'd like you to approve.
Yeah,
added features.
I think we need to go back in there and refresh it a little bit, I think, Larry. That'd be a good idea.
Well, we keep trying to do that. It's a lot of stuff in there to cover.
Yep.
you've got on there this domain emails. Is that something we want to look at?
Well, it's an option. It's available. Anybody can have a at ndtoa.com email address by doing this.
I think it's a good idea to have it. I would just put it as district, with the district three or director three, and not label a name on it. That way you can just transfer the password over, and whoever the next one gets can go through back emails to see what type of problems they had. It's kind of a way to get up to speed on stuff, you know, for if we're over here. So I could have gone back and looked at the different emails that Rod had gotten to see what type of things that were out there, if there's anything I needed to address. I think that'd be the easiest for uniformity and everything else. So
it's not going to do nothing to stop the scammers. They're still going to find you.
I got two for me today.
What is the cost on that, Larry?
It'd be $16.80 per user.
Is that per year or per month?
That is per month.
Mm-hmm.
There is other features to it besides the email. There's file sharing and collaboration, and it's the Google Workspace that you're getting, which has, you know, you can look into what Google Workspace involves.
To me, with that Google Workspace, too, if we're the sharing and everything, that'd be an easy spot to put anything for bills and stuff that we're supposed to review for the next meeting. You know, or if there's agenda items, we could go in there for stuff, too. So I think that makes sense.
That looks to be about an $1,800 bill, just $1,800 and change for 9 users.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be more than that, probably, though. But anyway, for 9 users, it would be $1,800 and change. That's $16.80 per month.
I think liability purposes, though, for the organization, I would agree that that's a good idea. I think that using personal emails, even for, you know, running your regular township things, just with the way our world is these days, and if there's any questions on anything, leaving your personal email out of there is always a good thing, liability wise.
When we've worked with ATIR, we've always pushed that those townships get their own computer just for the township. Make sure that they don't bring anything of their personal onto that computer. So.
Yeah, this would be basically the same type of thing, just for everybody. More protection for people. We have a couple of people around here that are really too happy. They get access to everything if it's your business is on it. So. There's nothing cheap about it, but it protects all of us.
Yeah, there's a benefit to the members, too. The simpler email. Some of our emails get rather involved. It's a lot of typing for somebody to get right to actually get an email to you, some of these cases.
So I like Jason's idea. I would move that we would use domain emails for the board and staff, and that the district directors not use their names, but the district district director or district 6 director or district 2 director, however that works.
Got a motion on the floor by Tim. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded to use the domain names and have them for the districts as District 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Is there any discussion? Any discussion?
I don't know if I like that. I mean, the fact about not having names on there. There are people that sometimes they will talk to someone and they do need that reference point when they're trying to contact them. I don't know if I like that idea of not having the names on it.
Our name's right above it on the website, though, when they're trying to find it and those things. So
you're gonna leave that on there.
Our names and everything. It's only be the email where it's only going to that.
Okay.
It'd still be my name and everything up there for those types of things on the webpage.
There's no other changes that you're trying to arrive at. Other than that, that's fine.
No, just the email. Because like you said, they need to know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
So.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion to go with the domain emails passes. Anybody else have any other items for this meeting?
To back up a little bit, Amber just got back to me. She's going to contact the hotel. She is sold out, but she's going to contact the hotel Monday and see if they can rearrange the tables to get us squeezed in.
Is she sold out for rooms, you mean, or just the...
For booths.
Booths, okay.
Michelle, she said by Monday she would let you know.
She's going to contact the hotel on Monday to see if they can rearrange things to make another booth area.
Okay. Anybody else have any other items?
We had a meeting yesterday with the local government group, and we're starting work on local government's capital connection 2027. That's going to be held March 24th and 25th of 2027. Probably be working out of the Bismarck State College National Energy Center of Excellence. And we're going to start full-scale planning probably in August of 26. This will be our legislative effort that we work together with the counties and cities, parks, districts, and schools.
You said March 24 and 25?
Right, of 27.
Okay. No, it would be of 26, right, that you would meet?
Right. The meeting, the work will start in August of 26.
August.
Yeah.
It'll actually be for March 24th through the 25th in the next legislative session in 27.
Right. They have reserved the Great Hall of the Capitol building for those days.
So that will tell you that March 24th and 25th, it will be bitterly cold that day.
And it's messed up.
Probably rained all day of the 23rd, so it's good and icy on the 24th.
Yeah.
So, I apologize, but my bunch is getting crabby, and if we don't finish here soon, I might not feed me supper. So if we could be done for me, that would be great.
I believe we are, just other than the motion to adjourn if there's nothing else.
So moved.
All right.
Thank you for attending, Jim. Yeah, then moving second, meeting adjourned.